My subject today is one that I think you'll find to be very interesting. I'm going to speak to you on this subject, the key to the Scriptures. I hear people so often say, I just don't understand the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. That's what we're talking about, the key to the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. Well, I think I'll be able to help you today. So if you will, just pull up a chair and sit and listen to this message on the key to the Scriptures. Now, after our Lord was crucified and arose from the grave, he appeared to his disciples, to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and then a short time later to all the apostles. He appeared to them after his resurrection and beginning at Moses here in Luke 24, verse 27, beginning at Moses. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the writings of Moses. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Samuel, Isaiah, Malachi, all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And then in verse 44, he said to them, now listen, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, that is, those first five books of the Bible, in the prophets, the major, minor prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me. All of these things that are written in the Old Testament Scriptures must be fulfilled, the things concerning me, he said. And then down in verse 46, he said this to them, thus it is written in the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, that the Messiah, the Christ, should suffer and on the third day arise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, not to the Jews only, but to the Gentiles, all nations. And then verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And that's exactly what I'm making an effort to do this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit, to open your understanding so that you can understand the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. And no more say, I can't understand the Scriptures. Yes, you can if you can get hold of this key. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. For the New Testament at that time had not been written. You know, our Lord said to the Pharisees in John 5, these leaders of the Jews, he said, you search the Scriptures. And they did. They were scholars. They were men who studied the Old Testament Scriptures, the laws of Moses. He said, you search the Scriptures, for in the Scriptures you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me. So here I find one key here in everything our Lord is saying, that Christ Jesus himself, our crucified, risen, exalted Redeemer, Christ himself, is the key to understanding the Scriptures. He is the key. The Bible, you see, is two separate parts. There's Old Testament and New Testament, but both have one single message, how that Christ Jesus came into the world to save his people, to redeem a people by the sacrifice of himself. It has one single message, Old and New Testament. The Bible has 66 books written by 40 different men over a period of 1,900 years, inspired by God. Now, the Scriptures were written. God used men to write the Scriptures. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the Scriptures. And God used 40 men over a period of 1,900 years to write the Old and New Testament. And all Scripture is God-breathed, inspired of God. And all Scripture has one central theme. and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said one time, the Old Testament scriptures declare that someone's coming. The Lamb of God is coming into this world. He's coming. He's going to be of the seed of woman. He's going to be a priest like Melchizedek. He's going to be a prophet like Moses. He's going to be a king like David. He's going to be the desire of all nations, the brazen serpent lifted up, the smitten rock, the Passover lamb. The Old Testament, all the way through, declares someone's coming. He's called the Christ. He's called the Messiah. And the four Gospels written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what's their message? He has come. He's here. Behold, John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God. Behold him in the manger. Behold him on the streets of Galilee. Behold him by the Sea of Galilee. Behold him on the cross. Behold him in the tomb. Behold him risen. Behold the Lamb of God. He has come. He said to that crowd in the synagogue at Nazareth, recorded in Luke 4, today, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The scripture regarding the coming Messiah. And then what about the epistles? There are 21 epistles, Romans through Jude. And the message of those epistles is this: he's coming back. The Messiah, the Christ. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the angels that stood on top of the mountain when he was taken up into heaven, while the disciples watched him go, these angels said to those disciples, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. The key to the scriptures, Old Testament and New, the key to the Word of God is the person and redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to help you see this, as a person reads the Old Testament scriptures, as he makes his way through the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, there are three great highways that he will travel upon. This is the Old Testament scriptures now, Genesis to Malachi. There are three great highways. As you go through that scripture, you'll travel on. One is the highway of promises. And prophecies. God's many promises throughout the Old Testament. Many promises and prophecies that God gave to the nation Israel. Many prophecies of deliverance, salvation, redemption, the kingdom of God. So you'll go through the promises and the prophecies. And the second highway that you'll travel upon is the highway of ceremonies. There are many ceremonies, feast days, holy days, sacrifices, atonement, blood shedding, priesthood, tabernacle, holy of holies, holy place. You'll go through all this road of ceremonies and sacrifices. And then the third highway that you'll travel upon going through the Old Testament scriptures is you'll meet men and women, faithful men and women, godly men and women, just full of longing and desire for fellowship with God, to know God, to be redeemed, to have their sins forgiven, to have everlasting life. And they cried to God for a revelation of himself. And that's the highway you'll travel. Promises, prophecies, ceremonies, sacrifices, and you'll meet people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Moses, David, who cried, God, be merciful. According to your loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. Wash me from my iniquities. Purge me from my sin. Yes. Well, let's look at these highways. See if it helps us. And find the key, which is Christ. Now, here's the first. We come to the promises and prophecies. And we meet the promises immediately. Immediately. In Genesis chapter 3. Right after our first parents sinned and fell and died in trespasses and sin. And God promised right then the woman's seed. God said to the serpent who tempted Adam and to whose voice Adam listened, God said to that serpent, I'm going to put enmity between you and your seed and the woman and her seed. And you'll bruise his heel, but the woman's seed will destroy your power. The woman's seed, one man born of woman, will destroy your power and restore men to life. That's a promise. And you meet that in the first part of Genesis, the seed of woman. Well, who is this? You're not a seed of woman. I'm not a seed of woman. Woman doesn't have a seed. When he said seed of woman, he's talking about somebody being born of a woman without the help of a man. That's right, virgin born. That's the promise. That you meet Christ in the first promise in the Old Testament. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, her seed and your seed, and he'll conquer you and bruise your head and destroy your power. And that's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel, the mighty one, the mighty God, almighty God, God with us. So that's the promise. And Christ is the fulfillment. All right, move to Genesis 15. God, this is an early part of Genesis, writings of Moses. And this is what our Lord taught his disciples concerning himself. God called Abraham out of his land, 75 years old. He began the Jewish nation with Abraham. Abraham was the first Jew, first Israelite, first circumcised man was Abraham, 75 years old, no children, married to Sarah. And God promised him that from his loins, his seed, not the woman's seed now, we've been talking about the woman's seed, that's the virgin-born son of God, but this is Abraham's seed, from his seed, who was Isaac, from your seed, through an unbroken line that'll go through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, tribe of Judah, root of Jesse, son of David, I promise that through you and your seed, will come forth the Messiah, and he'll be a blessing to all nations. Your seed will number as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Well, who is that seed? Well, Galatians 3 tells us who it is. To Abraham and to his seed was the promise made. Not to seeds, as many, but to seed one, which is Christ. Jesus Christ is born a Jew. He's the line of the tribe of Judah. He was born of the root of Jesse. He was born of the house of David. And do you know why Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his foster father, were in Bethlehem at this time? You know what they were doing there. They were Jews. And both of them were of the house and lineage of David. And they were in Bethlehem to pay their taxes. And the Old Testament scriptures prophesied that the Christ, whose goings forth have been from of old, will be born in Bethlehem. And this nation will be a blessing to all nations. That's what he said to Abraham. Your seed, I will raise up of your seed a blessing to all nations. And he repeated that promise to Isaac. Genesis 26, he said, Isaac, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. He repeated that promise to Jacob in Genesis 28, in thy seed all families of the earth shall be blessed. And Jacob blessing his sons in Genesis 49, before Jacob died, down in Egypt, blessing his sons, each one, he had something to say about each son, and he came to Judah. And he said, Judah, the scepter shall not depart from you, your tribe, Judah, till Shiloh comes. Shiloh. And to him shall the gathering of the people be. And to David in 2 Samuel 7, the Lord said, I'll establish your throne forever. Now you take your Bible in Matthew, the early chapters of Luke, and trace the house and lineage of our Messiah and you'll trace it right back to Abraham. And there's an unbroken line through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jesse and David right on down to the birth of the Son of God. And then Isaiah. This is the prophet Isaiah. And he talks more about the promised Messiah than most of the prophets. But here in Isaiah 7:14, let me read that promise again. The Lord himself will give you a sign, an undeniable sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You call his name, listen to this now, Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Well, in the next chapter, Isaiah 8, verse 10, Emmanuel is God with us. That's true. Our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is born of a woman. But that person born of that woman is also God Almighty. Now listen to me. In Galatians 4, Paul said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that are born under the law. Christ is God. Great is the mystery of godliness, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy. God was manifest in the flesh. And you're familiar with John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And down in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was with God, and the Word dwelt among us, and the Word was God, and we beheld his glory. Jesus of Nazareth is God Almighty. He says here in Isaiah 9:6, now listen to this. Here's another promise. Promise. We're traveling that highway now. And every promise is fulfilled in Christ. He's the key. If you can't see him, you can't understand the scriptures. Isaiah 9:6, listen. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Well, preachers, that's saying the same thing. A child is born, a son is given. Oh, no. A child is born, a new child, formed in the womb of a mother. But this son, he was given. He came from heaven and inhabited that body. The son is given. This is the Son of God. This is the only begotten Son of God. This is the Son of his love. This is the Son in which he said, I'm well pleased. The Son of God dwelt in the body of that child that was born. And look at the next line. And the government will be on his shoulders. What government is that? That's the government of God's kingdom. It's called the kingdom of his dear Son. And his name, listen to what his name will be. Wonderful. Do you know that's what the Lord said his name was when he talked to Manoah and his wife after the sacrifice? They said, what is your name? He said, Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's our Lord. And then in Isaiah 53, I'm going to preach on this next Sunday. But the Messiah shall not only be a glorious king, but he's one who will suffer for sins. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, the many promises and prophecies of the Old Testament in all 39 books. The key to understand those promises and prophecies is to see Christ Jesus the Lord. All right, the second highway is the highway of ceremonies and sacrifices. Again, we'll go back to the beginning, back to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis 4 now. We started in Genesis 3 and saw the seed of woman. Genesis 4, there were two boys, two young men is what they were, Abel and Cain, and they came to worship God, and they both built an altar. And Abel slew a lamb and offered a blood sacrifice to God, and God had respect to his offering. But Cain, he brought the fruit of the ground, and to his offering, God had no respect. And the truth is immediately established. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Noah offered a blood sacrifice when he stepped off the ark. Abraham offered a ram as a sacrifice in the stead of his son Isaac. Down in Egypt, Israel slew a Passover lamb. God said, I'm coming through at midnight to destroy the firstborn in every home. You slay a lamb and roast it with fire and eat the body, but put the blood on the door. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's the message all the way through the Old Testament. Listen to Leviticus 17:11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Moses built a tabernacle. Solomon built a temple in which daily blood sacrifices were offered, one after another, and a yearly atonement was offered. Oh, the many sacrifices all the way through the Old Testament. Well, what do they mean? Paul said in Hebrews, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. All the blood on Jewish altar slain cannot wash away one sin or cleanse one stain. God said that. He said, I never had any pleasure in these sacrifices, blood offerings. The blood of an animal cannot put away the sin of a man. So what does it mean, all these blood sacrifices? Well, it's fulfilled right here in Hebrews. Paul tells us, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, when Christ came into the world, he said, these sacrifices and offerings of animals never gave God any pleasure or any satisfaction, but a body hast thou prepared me. So by the will of God, we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see, every priest, there were many of them, Christ is one. They stood daily. They never sat down. Their work was never done, offering the same sacrifices over and over, which could never take away sin. But this man, and you run into that, those three words all the way through Hebrews, but this man, the God-man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down, his work finished at the right hand of God, expecting till his enemies become his footstool. And by one offering, one atonement, one sacrifice, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what all these sacrifices are pointing to, the death of the Lamb of God. Every lamb, every bullock, every ram, every goat that died in the Old Testament was a picture of Christ who died for our sin. All right, we've walked on the promises road and the prophecy road and the ceremony road and the sacrifice road. Now let's listen to these people. Old Testament men and women, listen to their testimonies, conscious of their sins, convicted of their sinful nature and inability to please a holy God, knowing they're dying creatures, there's life after death. These men and women desired, yearned, longed for forgiveness, for salvation, for fellowship with God. Jacob said, Lord, O Lord, I have longed for thy salvation. Job cried, Oh, that I might know where to find him. David wrote, as the thirsty deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul panteth for thee, O God. David summed up the need of these people, the desire of these people, and the longing of these people in Psalm 51. He said, have mercy on me, O God. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me from mine iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Purge me with hyssop. How's he going to do this? How can he be clean as born of a woman? How can God be just and justifier? I'll tell you how. The woman at the well described it. She said, in desperation, the Messiah's coming. The Messiah's coming. And he'll tell us all things. How God can be just and justifier. He'll reveal it. He'll tell us. And Christ said to her, I'm he. I'm he. I that speak to thee, I'm he. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. I'm the fulfillment of all sacrifices and promises and prophecies. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. This is the true God. This is eternal life. This is it. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So you take all the promises and prophecies of the Old Testament and put these three words after it, I'm He. You take all the types and shadows and sacrifices of the Old Testament and write these three words, I am He, the fulfillment. That's the name He gave to Moses. God did, I am. Moses said, what's your name? The burning bush, you know. God was speaking. So what's your name? The Lord said, I am that I am. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am He. And if you believe not that I am He, I am the high priest. I am the sin offering. I am the atonement. I am the fulfillment of all scriptures. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Adam lost three things in that garden. He lost his life. He died in sin. He lost the truth. He believed the lies of Satan. He believed Satan. He didn't believe God. He believed Satan. He lost his life. He lost the truth. And he lost the way. God put him out. In Christ, all three are restored. I am the way to God. I am the truth of God. And I am the life. But he says that all the way through the New Testament. I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture, and he shall be saved. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. Yes, sir, in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in Him. God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So you take that Old Testament and you read those promises and prophecies and you see that they're fulfilled in Christ. And you watch all of those sacrifices and the slaying of lambs and the atonements and the high priest going into the Holy of Holies. And that's Christ, who went not into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself, not with the blood of an animal, but with His own blood, and obtained eternal redemption for us. And if you've got a longing heart to know God, He says, come unto Me. Come unto Me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And you take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, and you'll find rest unto your soul. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now I hope this message will be a blessing to you, and I hope that it'll be used of God to open the Scriptures, to give you a key to understanding the Old Testament Scriptures. For Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Scriptures. They are they which testify of Me. All the prophets, to Him give all the prophets witness that through His blood, through His perfect righteousness, we have eternal life. So you write to us if you want this message, and send $2, and we'll mail it to you. And there'll be another message on the other side that I'll bring next week from Isaiah 53. Next week, I'm going back to the Old Testament, back to chapter 53 of Isaiah, and talk to you about substitution. And that's the story of the Word of God, substitution and satisfaction. So if you want the tape, you write to us, and we'll send it to you. Until next week, at this same time, may God bless you, everyone.